I'm starting a cult. That will be my survival mechanism. I was thinking about all of the white people I know that collect soul music, right? They all collect the soul music and it's so meticulous, and what year is it, and what condition is the vinyl in, and how much can I flip it for, and all these questions. And really nothing could be further from soul music than that practice, you know? Like, soul music is about immediate emotional expression, right? And that it's some kind of balance. I mean, you can have something really thought out, incredibly well constructed and delicate, but if there's no soul in there, it's not going to be as interesting. And so I think that what a podcast can do is just get a little bit closer to the heart of things. And, you know, maybe this is just for a very specific group of people. I mean, maybe it's just for creative professionals and audio aficionados, you know, but there's a lot of those worldwide, globally. I mean, that's kind of how, you know, we should be thinking, I think. So, ideally, like, this kind of banter or talking or me kind of working through it, then we'll ramp up into a story. And I mean, it's just strange. I just keep hearing that people want me to talk a little bit longer, Patrick. They just want to hear a little bit more. They want to spend a little bit more time with me, which is great because I want to spend more time with them or with you. I want to spend as much time with you as possible. I mean, for some reason, when the microphone is in front of me, I'm like more honest than I am in my normal life. So I don't know. I need this. And if you like it, that's phenomenal. And so I guess in a way is what we're so you got soul, right? You got soul, and I'm trying to convey some kind of soul. I mean, right or wrong, I'm trying to be emotionally honest, because that is my response to Minnesota's community, you know, is that it is, you know, there's some, I meant to find out the movie. It's a raunchy reference, but it's so true. It's just like, you're too much head and you're not enough fucking balls. And that is what I keep, that's what my artist, that's what my soul is expressing to this community. Like, I love you and I want to be here. There's nowhere else I'd rather be, but my art is definitely a response to, I think I'm an American artist in Minneapolis and not a Minneapolis artist. I'm like an American artist that chooses to live in Minneapolis and record in St. Paul. So anyways, so that's what I've been thinking about, the things that are interesting. And so let's talk a little bit about journalism, because maybe this is a form of journalism and that's what it is, right? Or I think I might be some kind of personal journalist, and which is great, because, you know, that's kind of a different sort of departure from objectivity. And, you know, Hunter S. Thompson is a huge influence. And but I think there's like a greater irony here. That's, I just want you to know how hard I'm trying to be objective. You know, I'm not trying to just shoot out my thoughts and kind of push some point of view. I'm trying very hard to continually challenge my own point of view and continue to hopefully challenge you to challenge your point of view, and maybe not get so immediately offended when I say crazy things like, you know, I think if you're a member of PETA, there's an 80% chance you're a racist. Which I don't really believe, but I think that I really want people to think about the connection between extreme animal rights advocacy and racism, because I think there's something there. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, the last thing I can talk about is talk radio, right? See, trying to be self-referential, self-reflexive, and keep, you know, burrowing in. But I don't know if you've read Consider the... Oh, it's David Foster Wallace's, would be his 50th birthday today, I think. So kind of appropriate. DF Dub. Anyways, I hope Nate Dogg and David Foster Wallace are in heaven right now, realizing how much they have in common. So anyways, Consider the Lobster, there's this essay, I think it's called Host, I believe it's called Host, about a conservative talk show host. And it's a, if you've ever read any David Foster Wallace, it's quite a dense and intense study. I mean, extreme journalism, perfect journalism, possibly flawless journalism about talk radio. And basically, you know, I could talk for hours about why talk radio works for conservatives and not for liberals, or, you know, what the different things are. But, you know, kind of there's this one moment where he has to mention how astounded he is that this guy can talk for 3 uninterrupted hours, you know, and that he can continue to generate this content that is interesting to people, you know. And I, for some reason, one of the many reasons I started doing a podcast is I wasn't that impressed, or I was impressed, but I was like, well, I think I could do that too, you know, because I know what he's doing is just making every single event, every single national event, a part of this philosophy, or he's just taking pieces of the news that fit into this this particular worldview that his listeners find inspiring. And it's the worldview that no one can help you but yourself. You know, there are large organizations that you don't understand that are out to get you. And what you have is the result of your own blood, sweat, and tears, you know, which is a very powerful message. Actually listened to talk radio, conservative talk radio, when I was like 12, 13, 14. I mean, I thought it was really interesting. I mean, that's perfect, because that's the exact emotional level that it's on. You know, it's this 12-year-old understanding of the world, and it's so appealing. And so anyways, I think I can take all of the ideas of the world and just keep wrapping them around one kind of little philosophy. And then if you're a listener of my show, that's mean you and means that you and I buy into this similar kind of worldview, right? But I don't really know what that worldview is. I feel like I know what it is. There's something in my gut that I'm kind of coming back to, this place in my gut. But it's my attempt at objectivity, or I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to make order out of the chaos, which is what we're all trying to do. It's what our brains do, make patterns out of the signals. So the other thing is, I could totally fucking talk for 3 hours if there were commercial breaks and news updates and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I kind of think I'm born to do it. I mean, that was the story. I mean, it's weird. Imagine how I feel sometimes thinking I identify more with like Glenn Beck than almost anyone, or, you know, that it's the dark half and it's not really me, but it's like, he's my Vader, you know? but so whatever, this is developed, but I am. And I think that, you know, I'm trying to convey this sort of positive cynicism, you know. I'm trying to convey a sense of gratitude for, you know, even if we are just an accident of the universe, that we're a happy f-ing accident. And yeah, but there, you know, there's something. I mean, obviously, I don't know what it is. And, you know, something with intent, right? You can tell that I'm trying to help, or I want, you know, I'm trying to help. So, yeah, I don't know. Patrick, what do you think?
I like the phrase positive cynicism.
Oh, yeah.
Is that your own creation?
That is my own creation, yeah.
I like that a lot.
Because
I'm not sure why.
I mean, I often get called cynical, but I'm always like, I'm just being honest, you know? Huh. I do. I get a lot of, you know.
It's a phrase that kind of stops you in your tracks.
Right, when you're called cynical?
Well, I mean, positively cynical.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. Right. It just means, you know, it's bullshit. Like, money is fucking fiction, right? Money is fiction. Think about that. It's not real. It's this thing that we've created. And then it's how we buy products, but it's also a product. Like, you know, there's this kind of, which is totally insane, but yet me and the rest of us, we like work for our little tickets and we try to, you know, put this all together, but. And people are like, well, that's really cynical that I'm saying like the economy is a fabrication of a, you know, colonial white dudes or whatever. But that's just that is the truth of the matter. And I think, you know, and I mean, I think one thing is, though, it's like investment bankers, you know, like the villains are bankers. Like whenever I get around an investment banker or a banker, I just want to talk to them. I'm mostly interested in their personal philosophy, you know. And often the ones I like say, well, the economy is totally meaningless. No one's really creating anything, but I'm just so smart. I couldn't imagine not taking all this money, you know, or it never occurred to them to like, they're like, well, everyone's stealing money and it's pretty easy provided you can do certain levels of calculus. And I'm just going to do that. And, you know,
that sounds like just plain cynicism.
Yeah, that's just plain cynicism. Right, exactly. That's a different kind of thing. I did come up with a great alternative career choice, though, which is I found out about Unitarian Universalist. You go to church, but that's the only rules of church. You, like, put on a nice shirt, and you all sit in a row, and you sing a song together, and somebody says some nice things, and it might be, you know, quotes from Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King or, you know, I think they even quote women too there. It's a radical concept. And anyways, I think I could knock that universalist preacher right out of the park. I mean, I'd probably have to, pump even more into my ego, but I think I could do it. I mean, I think there's a place that I could, back to the apocalypse, which I think should be a kind of consistent thing because, you know, I watched the Comedians of Comedy. It's not original. Patton Oswalt talked about how, like, this urge we have to live during the apocalypse, you know, the ultimate moment in human history. Shoot, it was like I was thinking about the apocalypse and then that whole thought just, like, ended.
Was it related to...
If there's an apocalypse, if there's a post-apocalypse reality and we all have to fend for ourselves and suddenly, like, all the guys who know bow hunting have power in the society that we never imagined before, I'm starting a cult. That will be my survival mechanism. And I'll, like, start some kind of cult and, you know, that I think that will be a positive thing. But really, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, I think I've gotten to a new place creatively that's really great. And I'm just going to say it right now. Maybe this can be the end of the recording. But I think there's probably two things that I didn't really understand when I got into the world of being a creative person is one is how not having money is going to affect your dating life. Like I was like, how can it be like, what could be cooler than saying you play the guitar and have no real financial future? The other thing I underestimated, and this really almost stopped me in my tracks, was the loneliness, you know, the amount of solitude that's required and just the what it means to, you know, edit video or just to kind of live outside the parameters of normal society. You know, not that I, whatever, don't work jobs and pay bills and things like that, but I just think I'm okay with that now, you know. For a long time, I was like, I'm just too lonely. I can't keep doing it. I can't be this, like, different guy anymore. I want to be like everybody else. And even saying that, like, I don't want you to associate some kind of crazy ego with that, you know. Also the Myers-Briggs, I took a bunch of personality tests, you know, and they all said the same thing, like, you're a creative visionary who might occasionally act irrationally around things like money. You know, I mean, it was all there. And so I think that, you know, maybe I'm kind of becoming okay with who I am, you know. I just, to get accepted by people that you respect, and that's really all that matters, you know. That's really all that matters, you know. So I'm getting that place where I always thought I was and always gave the lip service to, which is like, I don't care about fame and celebrity. I just want to be creative and do my work. But ultimately, that is the answer, you know. And I don't know, maybe I at least understand a modicum. I understand a tiny slice these days, and it feels good. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Dave Good Show.